Turn your Bibles today to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I want to read two verses this morning. Two verses. And I want to use from these verses that we're going to be looking at a thought that comes out of the text and preach this morning on the subject, the abolishment of death. The abolishment of death. And we see that actually stated in these precious verses. Look with me, please, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. The Bible says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now notice the Bible says, who hath abolished death. Let's bow our heads this morning in prayer. Our Father, we come to you in prayer this morning and we're thankful for what we've just read. We thank you, dear Lord, for this precious portion of your word. Give us understanding and help us today to rejoice in light of this great truth. My Father, if there's someone today in this service that is still living under the sentence of death, that is still dead in trespasses and sin, I pray today the Holy Spirit of God will speak to that heart, and dear Lord, may that person today be resurrected spiritually. My Father, I pray today that you might just bless this message to all of our hearts. We all today stand in need of a better understanding, and also a bit, including the understanding of the victory that is even involved in the matter of death, though it is a solemn subject. So, Father, help us today and meet needs today. So, God, just comfort and encourage hearts, we pray now, in Jesus' name, amen. Understandably, the subject of death is an unpleasant subject. And it certainly would be an understatement to say today that every single family in this church knows something about death. Every single family in this church has had the enemy of death to invade your family at one time or the other. We all today, as we sit here in this service, we're thinking about precious members of our families that have already been taken out from our physical presence. We have friends, we have loved ones. And even in our case today, even my own immediate family, the death that occurred this past week on the part of my own nephew. So the subject itself is certainly an unpleasant subject. But I believe the best resource and the best place to turn and the best way to find comfort and encouragement is in the Word of God itself. You know, I've been giving a lot of thought this past week for the message today. And I certainly, sometimes we preachers go through times of our lives where we struggle a little bit, not knowing exactly what to preach. But then, and sometimes it becomes easier to preach on certain subjects than other times. And while today is one of those days that I must honestly admit, I've struggled a little bit in terms of what to preach, I certainly know there's a need today in my own family for encouragement. And I just felt like in approaching this subject today would not only hopefully provide encouragement for our own family, but also encouragement to every family that's here and every individual that's here today, because what I'm talking about is a relative point that concerns all of us anyway. In other words, how are we going to react? How are we going to deal with deaths that occur in our families and they're inevitable from time to time? Again, the best resource is the Bible itself. Now, we obviously know that physical death is a reality. And we know that at this time, when the Bible talks about the abolishment of death, we understand today that physical death has not been abolished. We know today that people still die. Physical death is still a reality. So what does it mean when the Bible is talking about that Christ hath abolished death? What does it mean? That's, and this is what I want to look at here this morning. I'll be quick to say that physical death will prophetically be abolished, for the second coming of Jesus Christ will mean the resurrection of our bodies. And we know the resurrection of the bodies of the saints will take place when Christ returns. And we know that there will be the final abolishment of death itself when Jesus Christ comes back and the rapture of the church takes place. We know that God's people, those that have died, will receive a glorified body. Those that are living will be translated. And we know that in conjunction with the coming of Christ, there will be the final abolishment of death. I'm talking about physical death. It's an encouragement to know today there's coming a time there will be no more physical death. Physical death itself will be abolished. Brother Glenn this morning, in teaching the Sunday school class, which he always does an excellent job, he mentioned something this morning about our church directory. And we certainly do appreciate the good labor that has been set forth in putting together this church directory, and I thank God again for the committee. And again, I'm not going to start mentioning names. I'll leave off somebody again anyway. But here's the point. And like what Brother Glenn commented was this. Make sure, when you look at this new directory, don't compare it to the old directory. You're going to notice some notable changes that's occurred in terms of how our pictures will look. I can just stand here and guarantee you today, every single one of us today, our picture will reflect an older look on our part from the last time. Now, I did notice that the dear lady down here that's taking them pictures, she does, you know, she made it quick. She quickly announced the fact that they do have that little touch-up option. And that's kind of a pleasing option, you know, when you get older. But now, follow me with a point I want to make. Can you imagine, though, what our final picture is going to look like? Can you imagine what the heavenly directory will look like? You see, I'm anticipating that myself. I'm thinking of a time coming that the people of God will have no blemishes in any shape whatsoever. There's coming a time the picture will be perfect. Because, my friend, there's going to be a new body. A new body. Thank God for that. But you know, there's always a little humor we can find. And if you look hard enough, you can find humor in anything. That even includes the aging process. Oh, yes, we change. We may as well accept it. We may as well just laugh about it and go on. Things are changing in these bodies. But I'm telling you, thank God, there's coming a time we're going to have a perfect picture. You see, physical death will be abolished. Will be abolished. Now, the word abolished here is a word I want to point out something. It means to be made of none effect. That's what the word means, to be made of none effect. Do you realize, and now I'm thinking of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul said that death will be swallowed up in victory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, talking there about the glorification of the body. But now, let me put a different spin on that. Do you realize that when a person gets saved, death is swallowed up in victory, instantaneous? Do you realize that spiritual death is swallowed up in victory? When a person gets saved, they're raised in Christ. They are seated in heavenlies in Christ Jesus. They are spiritually brought up from the dead. Paul said, Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. So in a sense, spiritual, at the time you get saved, death is swallowed up in victory. In terms of the spiritual experience that takes place. A saved person is delivered from spiritual, the second death. A saved person is delivered from the spiritual death And I'm talking about, like Paul said, like the Bible says, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. When a person gets saved, they're delivered from the eternal death. They're delivered from the wages of sin, and the reason being, Jesus paid the wages of our sin. He paid the wages of our sin, and we don't have to pay the wages ourselves. If a person dies without Jesus Christ, they will eternally be paying the wages of their sin, because the wages of sin is death. That means eternal separation from God. That means forever and ever and ever paying on the wages of sin, which means to be cut off from God forever. But oh, thank God, when Christ went to the cross of Calvary, He paid the wages of our sin. And then when we trust Christ as our personal Savior, since Jesus paid it all to Him I owe, then the slate, thank God, gets wiped clean. And we don't have to deal with those wages. Physical death for the Christian, we know, means immediate victory and the presence of Christ. Look at the glorious theme of salvation covered in these two verses quickly. Let me point something out here. Notice something. Look at verse 9 again. The Bible says, "Who hath saved us?" Who hath saved us? That's a settled thing. Paul said, "Who hath saved us?" It is settled, thank God. This same apostle, he said this in another passage of Scripture. He said, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." It is a settled thing. When a person is saved, it is settled. Thank God, it's complete. And we can say it with certainty, not with pride, not with arrogancy, but we can say it with a glorified certainty, you see. He said, "Who has saved us?" That's a wonderful verse. Note something else. Well, look at this. Saved us, verse 9. Notice something else. The word grace shows up too, doesn't it? Verse 9, the word grace shows up, but according to His own purpose and grace, it's a grace thing. It's a grace thing. Salvation is a grace thing. Unmerited favor. No works involved on our part. It's all of grace. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. It is a grace thing. You can't work it up. You can't earn it. You can't merit it. God alone has to do it. All because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice something else. It's a pre-planned thing. Verse 9. Pre-planned thing. "But according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." It's a pre-planned thing. Salvation is not an afterthought with God. It's a pre-planned thing. Given in Christ Jesus before the world began. You tell me you don't find Christ in the Old Testament. You find Him before the Old Testament. Before the world began. Given in Christ Jesus before the world began. Plain simple point is this. Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is the way to heaven. Only through Him. Given in Christ before the world began. I mean, God looked down through the annals of time and saw His Son dying even before He did die. You know, chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. He's a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God looked down through the annals of time and saw His Son bleeding and dying and paying our sin debt. No one will ever walk on those streets of gold apart from coming through Jesus Christ. Verse states it. Notice something else real quickly. Who abolished death? Verse 10. Who abolished death? His resurrection took care of death. Who abolished death? Oh, not physical death, but His resurrection guarantees ours. His resurrection verifies ours one day. He's the first fruits, afterwards they that are His at His coming. I was reading old Dr. Harry Ironside, who was a great preacher, 19th century, pastor for many years in the state of California, down along the coast. I read of an experience that Dr. Ironside writes about in his, actually on his commentary, I think it's on the book of, book of 2 Timothy, he writes about this. He said at one winter time, he had several people to baptize there in the Sacramento area, Sacramento, California. He had several people he had to baptize, Sacramento, California. In that particular part of California, they had the Sacramento River, and he was planning on having his baptismal service in the Sacramento River. It was wintertime. River was high. The river was very muddy, dark looking. And again, it's wintertime. And several people had assembled on the bank that he was to baptize. The silt coming off of the mountains, flowing into the river. River was real dark. And he could tell by looking at the faces of the people, they were scared to be baptized in that high river as it was at that time of the year. Dr. Ironside knew that. He steps into the water. He walks out. He feels the bottom, making sure that there's no sinkhole or anything. So he walks out a ways. And he comes back. And he looked at their faces this time and he saw a marked difference. They knew because he safely went out and come back again. Their fear was squelched. They knew everything was okay. Thank God that's exactly what Christ did for us. He stepped in to the dark, deep waters, died in our stead. But thank God he come up again. He reappeared. He was resurrected. And so I say to all of us today, he hath abolished death. He took care of it, and one day there will be no more physical death. But even though we die now, he still abolished death in the sense that death has no victory. It has no victory. I want to read a couple verses. Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Fear of death. All of their lifetime were subject to bondage. Here's what I believe goes on with the devil. I believe that the devil tries to suggest to people, even to Christians, he whispers in their ear, so to speak, and tries to have them to fear and tries to have them to think that death is fatal, death is final, death is a terrible experience. But you see, God assures us through his word that his people can expect God's presence, they can expect victory, they can expect comfort in a time of death. You see, God delivers from the bondage of the fear of death. Charles Spurgeon one time said, in so many words, he was saying when it comes to physical death, he said, don't get ahead of yourself, child of God. He said, just wait. He said, because after all, God will give dying grace when it comes time to die anyway. And I tell you what, I've been to the bedside of a lot of dying saints down through the years, and I've never seen anyone so far that I know of ever pushed a panic button when it came to death. Abolished fear. Thank God that even though the devil says it's final, it's fatal. But the Bible comes along and says, I will be with you. Yea, though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. God takes away the fear of death. We have not been given the spirit of bondage of fear, you see. What a blessed truth. He delivers from the bondage of the fear of death. Death is abolished and made of none effect. That's what that word means here, made of none effect. Why? Because a stinger has been removed. Why? Because the grave has no victory. Why? Because death is only sleep as far as the body is concerned. Why? Because He paid the wages of our sin and we don't have to pay them. Death already has been swallowed up in victory. You know, I said that earlier. Death already has been swallowed up in victory for every saved person this morning looking at me right now as I preach. Death has already been swallowed up in victory. You're already on resurrected ground. You're already resurrected. I mean, the best resurrection has already taken place. Call that justification. And that resurrection called justification is a guarantee of that resurrection called glorification. Now, God's a good finished carpenter, isn't He? He'll finish what He starts. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's the best finished carpenter I know of. When He started the work of redemption, namely when He justified us when we got saved, He'll see to it that the product will be complete. Yes, physical death is an enemy. We know that. It stalks everyone. We know that physical death hits every family. I've lost both of my parents. Carol's lost both of her parents. I've lost a sibling already. I've had countless uncles and aunts. I mean, hey, death is no respecter of age. Some people die in old age. Some people die in infancy. And many people die in between. Some die by disease. Some die by automobile wrecks, wars, or murder. Some hasten the arrival of their death sometimes by cooperating with the enemy through engaging in bad habits and lifestyles. This past week, talking about a bad habit and lifestyle, I was getting my oil changed in my car. And the guy that runs this particular place, his speech is not very refined, I'll tell you that much about him. He throws in an expletive every now and then when he's talking. You know, crude talking type guy. I don't know why he told me this. I don't even know how we got on the subject. But he came in there and he said, my wife is a heavy smoker. He said, my wife, she has oxygen all the time. Has oxygen all the time. He said, I was sitting in the other room the other day and I heard something go whoof. He said, I knew what it was. I went back into the room and she had lit up a cigarette with the oxygen. And she said it burned her eyebrows, burned her ears, and he said I had to rush her right directly to the hospital. Now I know that that's not a laughing matter, but my friend, I've got a depraved nature. When I left there that day, I have to tell you, I laughed so hard the car was shaking, because in my mind I could see that. Whew. I mean, I didn't dare laugh at that guy's face talking about his dear wife, but anybody, though, that light a cigarette with oxygen flowing. I mean, my goodness. There's got to be a better way of making a living. I'm talking about how some people hasten their death. Now, physical death is a reality. Physical death is stalking all of us. Physical death is hard to deal with. But the best approach is to still realize, according to what the Apostle Paul said, that death has been abolished. And you and I can rejoice in the fact that the stinger has been taken out. You and I can rejoice in the fact that physical death is called sleep in the Bible. And besides, the person is not even near that body once they breathe their last breath if they're saved, because absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's more than just a funeral message. That is reality, living reality. My nephew right now is not in that body in Mooresville. He is present with the Lord if we believe the Bible. He was a student for many years, got saved when he was young, attended Gospel Light, had met my niece. They both met years ago. We're talking about someone that knew the Lord. 40 years of age. Seems to be an awful young age to die. But I'm telling you, our life is in God's hands. And we can't understand it. But I would suspect right now that Scott would be happy and would not want to return. While he's in heaven now, breathing the clean, fresh air of Glory Shore. It's still victory. It's still victory. Coming back here to this text, I see a woeful problem causing death. We live in a world that continually has to contend with the sight of funeral processions and families following loved ones to the grave. And of course, as you know, as I've said already, that's where we are this week. But think about the great victory associated with being saved. Think about it. Great victory associated with being saved. John chapter 10, verse number 10. Let that verse permeate your thoughts, your heart, your mind. Bible said, Jesus said this, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." You see, he came that we might have spiritual life and we might have abundant spiritual life. He came to provide for us abundant spiritual life, and physical death cannot destroy spiritual life. It can't do it. Death is because of sin, we know. Because of one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The devil is the cause of death in the world in that he introduced it to our first parents, sin issue. But death is a result of sin. Christ destroyed the devil, not that he'd eliminate his presence, because the devil is present today, but he eliminated his power. His power. The devil cannot have power over those who are dead spiritually when they're under conviction and accept Christ as Savior. We are saved and resurrected spiritually the moment that we accept Christ. The devil can't hold that soul down. What I'm saying is this. The devil may have power, but it's only delegated power. When a sinner cries out to Jesus Christ to save their soul, the devil has to release his grip on that soul. Because God, as we know, is a greater power and authority than the devil. The devil can't do anything but what God doesn't permit. What about what he told the devil in the book of Job? Told the devil he couldn't take Job's life. Read it. Devil has no more authority than what God permits. But now the point is, we have life. We have abundant life. That abundant life does not end at death. That abundant life reaches greater fruition at death. So there's a woeful problem called sin. That's why people die. Remember that death itself has not been destroyed. I'm talking about physical death. But according to Paul, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Physical death is the last enemy that will be destroyed. What I'm saying today is physical death is on God's hit list. God hired a hitman. You know who the hitman was? His son. God hired a hitman. And when Jesus died on the cross, he took care of the payment for sin. He died, you see. He took care of that. And I look at something else, I see a woeful problem, but I see a worthy provision. God hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Remember, saving grace is sustaining grace, and coping grace, and finally, dying grace. Every one of us, when we trusted Christ, knew what saving grace was. We know what coping grace is now. We know what grace is doing right now in helping us to get through this wilderness of sin. God's good to us every step, isn't He? That's nothing but God's grace. And then finally, it will kick in, whether it be the deathbed or whatever the case might be. God will give us dying grace. A worthy provision has been made. Jesus died in our stead. The wages of sin is death. He paid the wages of our sin. Don't forget that. He paid them. Satan's power was broken at the cross. Think about that. Satan's power was broken at the cross. Let me give you a verse. Colossians 2:15. Having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Satan's power was broken at the cross. Physical death can't keep the body in the grave. Salvation didn't keep our soul lost. Devil couldn't keep it lost. We're quickened, made alive in Christ. And let me tell you something. Everybody lying in graves all around this world that represent the body of a saved person, that body one day is coming out of there. And the grave will not keep down that body. I'm telling you, God didn't save us for defeat. He saved us for victory. Then finally today, I said this, a woeful problem, worthy provision, but a wondrous plan. Hebrews 5:9 says He became the author of eternal salvation. The author of eternal salvation. What a plan that is. No wonder there's victory in Jesus like we sing. It's a wonderful plan. You know, there's some plans aren't too wonderful, but I'll tell you what, that's a good one, isn't it? The plan of salvation. This plan was planned in heaven, perfected by Christ's provision. This plan changes the vilest of sinners and gives the brightest hope. This plan is adapted to the greatest need. It's a whosoever plan too. Whosoever. Whosoever will, let him come. It's a whosoever plan. My friend, listen to me this morning. If you're in this service without God and without hope, this plan that God has devised through the finished work of His Son is a whosoever plan, and that means you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a good plan. There's a lot of plans out there that aren't too personal. There's a lot of plans out there that only apply to certain people. It's just like Obamacare. You know, you've got to be in a certain category or you're in a world of hurt on Obamacare. But that's another point for another time. I'm not going really planning on getting political right now. But that plan only concerns certain people. And there's a lot of plans that don't have your name on it. But thank God when Jesus died, in a sense, listen to me, He died for you. He died for the whole world. It's a whosoever plan. You can get in the ark yourself today. Where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. You say, preacher, there's no hope for me. Well, let me ask you this morning, where is Jesus right now? If you know your Bible, you know where He is. He's on the right hand of God the Father. Let me ask you another question. When He died on the cross, who all did He die for? If you know your Bible, He died for the whole world. That means you. So I'm saying to you this morning, don't let the devil intimidate you telling you that there's no hope, that you've sinned beyond your day of grace. If you'll accept Christ as your Savior, God promises in His Word, He'll meet you at the cross. There's room at the cross for you. Though many have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. I praise God today that death has been abolished. Yes, we have to deal with the solemn, heart-wrenching, tear-causing thing called physical death. But the Word says death has been abolished. There does not have to be a fear in death for the child of God, because like I've already preached, Jesus took the stinger out of death, and a bee without a stinger, well, you can just walk up and pet it if you could. Couldn't hurt you, could it? The stinger's been taken out. That's how it is for a child of God this morning. This plan's a wonderful plan. It's adapted to the greatest need, and it's a whirlwind plan. I meant to say. You know, Elijah was caught up in a whirlwind. You know that, don't you? caught up in a whirlwind. You realize a split second a person gets saved, they're caught up in a whirlwind in a sense. They're immediately saved. They're immediately a child of God. It's not a biological process or an evolutionary process where you get one foot in today, another foot in tomorrow, arm in one day, another arm in the next day. And eventually, if you work hard, strive, and you know, do the best you can, you may eventually get in all the way. The moment you accept Christ as Savior, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You're in all the way. And all because Jesus abolished death. And this plan, God's wonderful saving plan, is a wholesome plan too. I mean, hey, one thing to have physical health, but another thing to have spiritual health. And that's the most important thing. He hath abolished death. And let that encourage your hearts today. Let's bow our heads in prayer.